KPQ.com, where topics of local concern affecting you are open for discussion. And now your host, Michael Knight.
Good afternoon. It's 12:15. This is News Radio 560 KPQ, and you're listening to The Agenda. And thanks for that, by the way. So, consider this. I know it's baseball season, but what would you say is the polar opposite of baseball? You think it's basketball? Perhaps football? You choose what you want. I'm going to vote for basketball because it's a running game, it's a movement game, it's a sport, it's a business, it's a wild sideshow for action, for stars, for lots of scoring. And it's a contact sport like rugby. And like rugby, no pads. You know what it's like to have Boogie Cousins run you down from behind? It's like being run down by a Buffalo Springfield. So, now that we've got that established, what do you think is the polar opposite of taxes? Bank robbery? Federal mail fraud? Maybe transcendental meditation? I'm going to go with bank robbery because robbing a bank is something like taxes in that we put it off from time and time and time again before the deadline looms like an iceberg in the North Atlantic of your planning calendar. So you're reminded repeatedly, time to rob that bank. Have you made plans to rob the bank? Are you thinking about robbing that bank this weekend? Did you do that bank job yet? Have you worked out your paperwork? Do you have a getaway exit plan worked out? Have you contacted your CPA telling him you're thinking of a large cash situation not to exceed $10,000 per deposit? What about your disguise? You can't just go in looking like that. You're going to go as an orthopedic surgeon? Interesting. Don't forget the mask. You don't want the guard to say, "Why, good morning, Mr. McGillicuddy. How's the puppy and the grandchildren, and how's your hernia surgery healing up?" Really? You didn't used to have a limp, did you? The proceedings are all subtle signs that perhaps you've got the right idea, but you've chosen the wrong bank. So go back immediately to the bank robbery drawing board. Or, like in the second half of our show, you could go to the National Forest and be armed with your empty backpack. Venture into the wilderness in your shorts, your flip-flops, and your T-shirt, leaving your phone, your handy GPS Blue Oyster Cult decoder antenna, and your natural sense of direction right there in the hallway where you put the keys. They're always there when you can't find them. It's on that little table. Did you even look there? So there's your polar opposites of tax. If you don't want to do your taxes, I understand that. Just pick the right bank is all I'm saying. And the man who would join me in that, of course, is Kyle Meisner, who's here from Cordial Nair. He's pensioning today. They finally said, "Kyle, let's see what you can do." And it's good to have you here, Kyle.
Good to be here, Michael.
You got a voice for radio. And also, he plans ahead. I have a complete list of things that we're going to talk about today. But you know what's more interesting than what I have to say, or perhaps even what Kyle has to say? It's what you have to say. So give us a call if you want some tax tips from the professional. Or you can have them from me if you want. I'll give you a tip. The number to call is 509-663-5656. 509-663-5656. 56. And if you don't call, then that's information that I will not impart to you. We're going to pick on you personally and say, "Well, he didn't dial. Why should we even talk to him?" That's the attitude we have here at News Radio 560 KPQ when it comes time to dealing with a professional. And Kyle has finally come up with a plan that works for me. It's called filing an extension, right?
That's right.
Form?
4868.
That's the only form I know. Well, I know 1040.
That's right.
But 4868 I do every year, and including this year, under the advice of my tax preparer, Mr. Dilly. But when we file a tax, we got to at least go through all our income and figure out what our total is and what we may owe. How do we? What else do you suggest?
Just that you figure out what you think you're going to owe and think about making a payment with that extension.
Do you underpay that figure or overpay it?
Usually overpay.
And they're going to keep it no matter what. No one ever got their check back, did they?
Well, they'll give you a refund if you pay too much.
That's nice to know. Have you ever done that? I had a client do that?
On occasion.
Pay $1,000 and they got a check back for $2?
Yeah. Money? Yeah, that happens.
And then you mail form 4868. That's 4868. But you better check the back of the form, right? Because there's two places to mail it. One if you don't owe money and one if you do.
That's correct. You got to make sure you send it to the right place. And you can also file that online at irs.gov. There's a link to a couple different choices for free filing that.
And then how do you deal with the money part of that?
You can make a payment from irs.gov as well, or you can mail them a check.
So but on irs.gov, what do I have to give them, my bank account?
Yep, you'd have to give them your banking information.
And with an authorization to please take $500, please take $1,000.
That's right.
Okay, there you go. What's the most you've ever and this is just a wild question. I don't know why I came up with this, but what's the most you've ever witnessed somebody had to pay in taxes? Like if you did the tax report for Jeff Zuckerberg, for instance, or whatever his name is. Is it Jeff Zuckerberg?
Mark, I believe.
Mark Zuckerberg. His brother Jeff is also in the business, but doesn't make anywhere near as much money as Mark.
There you go. I think the most I've seen in total is somewhere north of $1 million.
That they owed?
That was the total tax. We had them send about $500,000 in with their extension.
And the IRS said, $500,000, that's half of what we had planned for you.
That's right.
So he had to pay penalties and interest.
Yes, he sure did.
On $500,000? Woo!
Yeah, there was some penalties and interest there. That also covered his first estimated payment for the next year as well.
Oh, so. He pays four times a year.
Mm-hmm.
And still owed $1 million.
That's right.
Well, I congratulate him on one side of this because he must be doing rather well.
That's right.
That's what the kids used to say in college. How's your older brother? He's doing really well. And they didn't mean his health. So the extension gives you how much time to get your act, or how much time will it give me to get my act together?
It gives you 6 months to file your return.
Wow. That's a lot of time, really. But not for me, because I can procrastinate 6 months at a time.
That's right.
And I know you think I'm joking, Kyle, but ask Dilly. He'll tell you that I'm not. And you can make this a payment. So I've never made a payment online. So you just give them the bank account number, is that it? The whole checking account?
Checking account, routing number, all that, all the requisite information to take the money out of your account.
Is that too much information for the government to be having? It's not that I don't trust the government. Or the deep state or whatever you want to call it. It's just that there's so much information. If all those numbers are rattling around in the IRS, what are the chances of someone, I should say the wrong person, like Jeff Zuckerberg, for instance, getting a hold of those numbers?
They've really locked down their IT stuff lately. And typically you give them that information anyway to hopefully get your refund so they can direct deposit it.
Of course, we're asking questions of my personal interest. If you have one of your own and you haven't gotten to your taxes because you just hate the process, even though you're really good at it, you can always take some professional help. I always look forward to it. Here's the phone number to call, 509-663-5656. That's 663-5656. I'll answer the phone. We'll put you right on the air, and you get your questions answered. And you'll feel better when you're done because you got some professional help. Not just help. I could offer you help. Professional help from Kyle Meisner at Cordell Nehrer. By the way, I always ask as we get deeper into tax season, what's the atmosphere at the home office?
Depends on the hour, but, we're getting close. So if there's a light at the end of the tunnel, there's some hope now.
How many clients do you have, just in round numbers?
Left to file?
Well, in total.
Probably 100.
Woo. That's a lot of forms.
Mm-hmm.
Can you really rattle through it in a hurry? I don't mean to imply that you do it quickly without any concern, but are you pretty good at it, or you can just do it quickly? How long does it take to do a single family?
It really depends on the client. It can take a half hour to 20 hours, depending on how much that they've got going on.
I can't remember who's told me this, but a tax preparer said that he always gets an extension because by the time he's finished with everybody else's taxes, he can't bear to do his own. Sound familiar?
Sounds familiar.
How about you? Have you ever had a 4868?
I've been known to file a 4868 on occasion.
There you go. Well, smart people do that because we panic, and we really go through a lot of fear and loathing. For some people, it's like that, and there's no need. When's the first time you got professional tax help?
When I got professional tax help?
Well, did you always want to be involved in finance? Were you always a CPA in your mind? Is that what you thought you were going to be?
Not always, but for the whole time that I was in college, yes.
But in high school, when you were in that rock band, did you ever think you were going to be a CPA?
No, not in high school.
What do you like best about Cordell Nehrer? I know that's a fine company, and I've always enjoyed being with those guys, but what do you like about it?
I like the people there.
You're the new kid.
Yeah, that's right. I like the people there. Everybody is really nice and helpful and friendly.
Actually, that's been my experience, too. Now, there's something that the IRS likes to do. They like to penalize you, and then and in addition to the penalty, they take another slice based on the interest of the money that you didn't pay. And when do they want that payment? Let's say they have determine that I sent a check for $500, but I owed $600. So what do they do?
So they're going to charge you penalties and interest on the extra $100 that you didn't pay by April 15th.
And if I appeal to their better angels, do they ever take any of that off?
No.
Never?
Not that one.
Oh, but in other cases they may?
Sometimes you can get out of penalties and interest, penalties anyway.
If you write a compelling letter?
Or ask nicely.
There you go. And that sort of flies in the face of them being automatons with no emotions or judgment beyond the rule book. That's not the case. It's been my experience. Of course, getting them on the phone is another matter.
That's the hard part. So what they have now is basically a one-time penalty freebie. So you get one every 3 years.
Really?
Yep.
Ooh, I'm going to use one of those, I think. Maybe sooner than I thought. So with the extension filed, if I owe interest and penalties on $1,000, I'll have to pay $60 on the extension and $292 on the without the extension?
That's right. If you file an extension and you still owed $1,000, penalties and interest would be $60. If you don't file an extension, that same $1,000 of tax would cost you $292 in penalties and interest. So that's why we want everybody to actually get those 4868s filed.
Get them going.
That's what it's saving you.
And the deadline for 4868 is the same for everything, the 15th?
April 15th, that's right.
Okay. Now, have you, with the new tax laws, by the way, are they very different from the year before as we've been characterizing them? Very different?
Very different.
So what's the one thing that everybody's missing up this year? We don't get a lot of deductions, so is it a deduction or some other thing that we've neglected?
As far as why people are owing, or?
No, as far as why, the new rules this year, a lot of changes have come to the tax code. What's the mistake that people are making? Like, we always forget to take, did you take your donations to charity? Well, yes. How much are they? Did you predict them and account for them correctly? Probably. Do you have the receipts? If you have to file them? Yes, maybe. Well, what are people forgetting this year?
I haven't seen people forgetting a ton. Things are, with the increase in the standard deduction, that's kind of the biggest difference this year over last year is for a married couple, that's gone up to 24,000. So you're not as worried about those charitable deductions and getting all the mortgage interest and property tax on there because you're already getting 24,000.
Now, when you're putting together John Smith's tax return for himself and his wife, and they have two kids, do you call him back and say, I just have a couple questions before we send this off. Did you do this? Did you have any of that? What about the 1099s? Do you have any of this stuff? Is that how you run it down?
Usually, if you look at last year and they had all that information and you're missing something, then you give them a call and, you know, what about your U.S. bank interest or your property taxes? I see you had that last year. What was the amount this year?
Good job. What's the 80% exclusion that's recently passed? I don't understand that.
So, because the withholding tables changed and we have a lot of people that are underpaid, there's also an estimated tax penalty. And as long as you have 80% of your liability, so if you owed $1,000, as long as you have $800 paid in, then they're not going to charge you that estimated tax penalty.
That's pretty cool. Is that for 1 year only or maybe two?
Yep, just for this 1 year. And normally that's not, you have to be 90% paid in. So.
And how did they come to make that judgment based on what they think people are not going to be able to do?
They started at 85 and they must have decided that they were charging too many estimated tax penalties still, so they just recently lowered it to 80.
One of the reasons people don't file their taxes in a timely manner is because they're afraid of the result. They think that they can't pay what they need to pay, and they figured that they have to pay that $15,000 all at once, but they don't?
There is options to make a payment plan with the IRS.
And they're not draconian about it, are they? I mean, they're not the devil on a horse. My experience is in the past that they're pretty reasonable people.
That's true. As long as you you don't ignore them, then they're pretty good about letting you make payment arrangements.
What do you do if you have to talk to somebody there? Do you have a back channel bat phone?
Unfortunately not. I have to wait in line just like everybody else.
And have you done that many times this year?
Yeah,
what's
quite
Kyle
a few
doing?
Times.
He's waiting.
That's right. On hold.
For sometimes, what, better part of an hour?
Hour, two.
Whoa, 2 hours?
Yep.
You've really done that?
I have.
Boy, the things you do for your clients. I hope they know that you're working in the trenches like that. It's not staying on the line. It's the music.
That's right.
I don't know where they get it, but please stop. I'll send you a Booker T and the MGs album, and you can play that instead of what this junk is that they play before you're waiting. And I don't even mind the announcements. Hold on, your call is important to us. That's why we made you wait 2 hours. What else is due on April 15th?
You need to make your IRA contributions, so either traditional or Roth. The limits for those this year are $5,500.
What does Roth stand for? I don't know either.
I don't know.
It is an abbreviation for four words, right?
It should be, yeah.
Registered Ornithologist Today in Heaven. There you go.
There you go.
Perfect. And the Roth, the IRA contributions to your traditional Roth have to be made before 415?
On or before 415, that's right.
And is there any amount that you can contribute?
You can put in 5,500 if you're under 50 or 6,500 if you're 50 or over.
And HSA, what in the world is an HSA?
That's a health savings account.
Oh, okay, gotcha. And do you recommend those, by the way? Is that the one that you lose if you don't use?
That's not the one that you lose if you don't use. It rolls over forever.
That one's more sensible.
If you qualify for them, they're great.
And if you have a big family, you can actually put in just about $7,600, which is quite a thing. They limit your total contributions and your employer contributions, and then they account those all for the limit. They have the ability to know both.
That's right. If your employer contributes on your behalf, then that comes out of your $6,900 family contribution.
Would that be on the W-2 for reference?
Yes, that would be on the W-2.
Beautiful. Hey, Neil, you did a great job.
Thank you.
You're not related to Randy Meisner, are you?
I'm not.
Okay, that's okay. He's having a bad time, but he had some great years. That's for sure. In the future, and that means for this minute hints, because it's now 12:32 and I got to go, call Kyle at Cordell Nair, ask for Mr. Meisner. He'll be there unless he's on hold with the IRS for 2 hours, in which case he will call you back sometime before filing time and help you professionally with the questions to your answers or the answers to your questions. Call him with an answer. See if he can come up with a perfectly good question. I think he probably will. Kyle, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Have you done your taxes?
Not yet.
He's my kind of guy. That's why he's here.
At KPQ.com.
It's 12:38 here at News Radio 560 KPQ. Michael Knight without a guest. I can't get through to my guest who I'm expecting to speak with at this hour. I'm getting nothing but busy tones, so there's nothing I can do except say, it's Open Phone Thursday. Any question, any comment, any reason for you to be alive today and hear your voice on the radio, call me now. 509-663-5656. I rarely do this. I don't care what you want to talk about. Well, I shouldn't say that. I already have. I don't care what you want to talk about. This is your opportunity. I'm on a 7-second delay, so you can say anything you want. As filthy as you can be, I'll just blink you right out. No one will ever hear it. So call right now and tell me what is on. Just think about this. Jack Kerouac had a thing called first thought, best thought. Whatever comes to your mind first is the one you go with. So what's that thought? You see what I mean? I don't care. I've heard it all. Give me a call now at 509-663-5656. I'm just going to keep giving that number till somebody calls me. Open Phone Thursday. I throw open the lines, and I just take whatever comes in over the transom. It can be a question about politics, about sports, about my opinion on pasta, which, by the way, I'm rather pro-pasta, tell you the truth. Let's see who's on the line. Hi, KPQ, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, Michael, it's Robin DeMario.
Oh, Robin! I couldn't get through to you.
I've been waiting for your call.
All I got was busy. I got busy, 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 busy.
Must be a different phone number you were trying.
Well, I was calling you on your office line that you gave me, but I'm so glad that you called. Robin DeMario from the Okanagan-Wenatchee National Forest was my guest, and I just couldn't get through to her. Probably pilot error. You know how that is. Well, let's start with a topic close to my heart. I love a fire almost more than I love summertime. I don't like being cold, but I love building a fire to stay warm. I'm really good at it. So if I need, let's say, 4 cords of wood, what would you suggest?
Well, I'd say first, come to the National Forest, but don't come until May 1st, because that's when we'll start selling our wood cutting permits. Those permits will go on sale here locally and throughout our ranger districts. The minimum purchase is 4 cords for $20, and that allows you to cut wood that's either down or standing dead trees in the forest, and to be able to take that wood home with you and utilize it for, you know, your family during winter time and, you know, for your own personal use.
So even if I've cut wood before, I better check out see what the forest looks like, because I may be picking the wrong spot, correct?
Well, you know, it's spring right now. You can't get a lot of places on the forest currently. Many of our roads are still snow-covered, and some of them are pretty muddy in the lower elevations, and that's just not a good combination if you're thinking of going to go get your firewood, having a heavy-loaded truck, you know, come May 1st, anyhow, full of wood on a slippery, snowy road or a muddy road. You know, it's really easy to get stuck on forest roads this time of year, so that's why we encourage folks just to put that off until the roads have had a chance to dry out and conditions are a lot better, more conducive, so that no road damage occurs when folks get out on those roads.
I don't know what your rules are, but if people get stuck on the roads up there in the forest, do they have to pay for their own extraction?
Yes, they do.
Ooh, that can be costly.
Most definitely. So that's why we encourage folks, even if you start out down here, say, lower elevation near Wenatchee and the road is dry, as soon as you gain some elevation, you're going to start hitting different road type conditions. Had some reports, like, for example, up in the Enneadh area with Mud Creek and Potato Creek and some of those canyons up there where the roads are, you know, pretty dry at the very bottom, but you just go a little ways up, they start turning a little muddy. And then after that, they turn snowy, and then you get stuck. Or you try to turn around, you get stuck. Or, it's just not worth going there yet. Just let them dry out a little bit more. And plus, for example, if you go all the way up the Enneadh River Road where the snow park is, there's still 2 feet of snow there at that snow park. So that's open for snowmobiling, winter recreation activities still. So, you know, keep that in mind. Those areas that still have a lot of snow, we're still doing those winter activities.
What's the latest in the year you ever went snowshoeing? I know you're a big snowshoe enthusiast.
Well, you know, it depends on how far you want to hike up to the snow. You can get to snow, you know, pretty much through the summer if you really, really want to hike really far up to get to the snow.
That's a good point.
I would rather hike down in the lower elevations. So just depends on how much energy and how far you're willing to walk.
If you go to the Big Island of Hawaii, you can hike up and find snow at 10,000 feet pretty easy. I don't know if you want to snowshoe up there, keeping one eye on the volcano, but that's...
Yeah, I don't think so.
No, wait on that.
By then, you know, the trails would be open, and it would be really great. I love spring because everything is... There's a rebirth to everything. You've got... pretty soon, wildflowers will be popping up. If you look at the hillsides now, they've greened up so wonderfully, and we know that just right around the corner with some rains, we're going to get some wildflowers. If you go down to the river, or walk around there, or just stand outside and listen. You'll hear all the songbirds singing. It's a wonderful time of year, spring is, to hear all the birds and to see them. You can go up to Lake Chelan and see the eagles and the ospreys hunting for their food along the lake. Wildlife right now is really great. You've got deer all over the place. So, you know, it's a really great time of year.
How much do the wood cutting permits cost each year?
The price is 4 cords for $20. That's the minimum price.
That's a pretty good deal when you think about it. 4 cords, that's a lot of wood.
That is a lot of wood. Some folks need a little bit more. Their houses may be larger or older. But usually a 4-cord is the minimum purchase that people can do when they come into our offices.
When people are cutting a cord or half a cord, better way to start, can they bring in equipment to haul it out? Because cutting the wood and acquiring it is one thing. Getting it to your truck can be another.
That's when you have the teenage sons or nephews or, you know, those folks that are real strong. You carry the wood from where you cut it to your vehicle. So you won't have any specialized equipment besides your chainsaw and then the pieces of equipment that are required to be in compliance with that permit, which is a fire extinguisher, having the proper spark arrestor on your chainsaw, having a shovel, water, things like that. So most of the time it's pretty labor intensive.
That'll take the starch out of the average guy carrying a half cord of wood back to the truck.
Well, that's why you cut them in smaller chunks so that you can just carry those chunks to the truck and get them stacked up pretty nicely.
Have you ever had a fire started with a chainsaw?
Oh, yes, there have been, and that's the reason why on the permit the information about having the proper spark arrestor on your chainsaw is really important. And one thing we encourage folks when they come in to get their permit, we remind them that throughout the summer, they need to check the industrial fire precaution level for the areas where they plan to cut their firewood. As fire season progresses and conditions dry out in the forest, sometimes restrictions are put into place is limiting or ceasing firewood cutting during those very hot and dry times of the summer. So it's just something folks need to think about, too, as it gets later into the summertime and into the middle of fire season.
What do you think about this idea that we may be facing drought soon? I thought we had such a winter that there'd be a lot of snowpack, but apparently I am wrong.
I really enjoy listening to the NOAA Weather Service updates that they give every once in a while. And on Mondays, I hear some information from them. And also looking at their site to look at some of the historical information. So whatever the weather, you know, springtime is a really good time of year because it either brings in a lot of rains, which are great for everybody and for our water sources and things, but they all that large amount of rain in the spring also increases the abundance of the fine fuels, what we call the grasses, the very thin and fine materials on the forest floor. So if we have a lot of spring rain, then we'll have a big crop of those fine fuels, which later in fire season can lead to more abundance and more frequent fires, especially along highways and roadways where, you know, people travel a lot. So if we don't get a lot of moisture in the spring, then that obviously would lead to a little bit of a drought condition in the summer, and that also will have corresponding effects on fire season. So right. I guess the thing is just to be aware of conditions, and especially if you're a homeowner and you want to try and make your home more fire safe, you know, for doing whatever projects you can to keep it safe, getting that green belt around your home, removing any overhanging limbs that might be touching the roof or in near contact, cleaning out the gutters, removing all the dried leaves and material that may have blown up against the side of the house or under the deck. You know, there's a lot of things that folks can do to improve the survivability of their homes in case a fire were to start near or, you know, within a short distance from where they are. So, you know, that's a lot of things that folks can do during the springtime. And, in fact, May is Wildfire Awareness Month. And so that's something that folks might want to look into in the month of May.
And certainly been a lot of fires in the last couple of summers for us to be aware of. So let's hope that we have a more fair and equitable fire season this year without too many eruptions and not too much brown in the sky. That's not really something to look forward to.
Never is. Now, keep in mind, you know, the national forests around us here are fire-dependent ecosystems, and fire has played a role in them for thousands of years. We've just come to a point where those the management and things that we've done in the past that we thought were correct have proven not so much to be correct, and so we're trying to utilize forest restoration projects to make segments of a forest, especially those that are in near or adjacent to the wildland urban interface area, that's the place where the houses and the communities meet the forest, try to make those a little bit more safe for folks and for communities.
That's Robin Namara with the Okanagan-Wenatchee National Forest. She knows this national forest intimately, and I appreciate her expertise on a weekly basis. Robin, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. Thank you so much for calling in today. I declared an open phone Thursday, and the first call comes in. I said, oh, this is going to go well. And it's you. It's fabulous. That's just the way it should have been. Thanks, Robin.
You bet.
On News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
News Radio 560 KPQ, our time is 12:52. I'm fortunate to have Robin DeMario on the phone. She's the brains of the outfit at the Okanagan-Wenatchee National Forest, and she's on the line with me now. 61 degrees in Wenatchee. Robin, one thing I meant to ask you was there are some restrictions on where you can take the wood and what you should and what you should not cut down. What are those all about?
Well, when folks come in to get their woodcutting permit, we issue them or give to them a map of areas where woodcutting is allowed and not allowed. So they need to look at that map and figure out where they want to go to get their wood. So that's the first thing. Then there are some tree species that you don't cut. You know, you've got some western larch trees that lose their needles in the winter, and they look like they're dead, but they're really alive. So you need to know your tree species definitely before you go out there so that you can cut down a tree that indeed is dead or get the ones that are already dead off the ground, and you're pretty safe that way.
How many permits do you sell each year around about for woodcutting?
That's a good question. I don't know what the number is this year. I haven't checked into that. But it is something that a lot of people utilize from the National Forest, so it is a program people like and do use.
It's fun, and I don't think all National Forests do that, or am I wrong?
It depends. depends on whether they have the product available. So our forest doesn't, many of the forests in the Pacific Northwest sell woodcutting permits. I just wouldn't be able to tell you whether all forests do or not. It just, again, depends on the availability.
You told me an interesting story that's worth repeating about Lake Chelan and the bridge that washed out at the top of the lake that prevents some access, but you have a solution for it with the ferry. Is that right?
Yes, the Lady of the Lake ferry boat will start dropping people off just a quarter mile north of the Prince Creek campground. That's on the north shore of Lake Chelan. And that was so that people can access the Lakeshore Trail. And that's a great trail over 15 miles long from the Prince Creek area to up to Stehekin. And it's one of our very first trails on the forest that will open up and become snow free. And it's a pretty good trail. In the early springtime is the best time to hike that, because as the summer progresses, it's right on the side of the hillsides, and the sun gets pretty hot in June, late June, July. So early spring is best time to hike that trail. So if you do want to hike that, you have an option now. You can go take the ferry boat up to Stehekin, get off, and then hike down the trail a ways as far as you want, and then you could just turn around and come back to Stehekin, because you can't get off anywhere, can't catch the ferry boat anywhere else. But beginning on May 1st, you will be able to take the ferry boat up to Prince Creek campground, and at least north of there, get off the boat and hike all the way to Stehekin, and then get off, and then get back on the boat there.
Sounds like you might have some of the forest to yourself at this time of year.
Yeah, a lot of it. Again, the forest is mostly still snow-covered at mid to higher elevations. So folks just need to be aware of that. Always check the weather forecast before heading to the woods. If you're going to just go for a day hike, still check that weather forecast for that area where you'll be visiting, because you want to be prepared. You know, storm front might move in the afternoon that you weren't prepared for, and you may not have the proper equipment, clothing, gear, to be able to make your trip back out an enjoyable one and a safe one.
That's the voice of Robin DeMauro. She's the brain trust of the Okanagan-Wenatchee National Forest. We talk to her every week, and she's full of information that we need to impart to everyone. And she's also a big help today by making this interview. When I couldn't find her, she found me. That's the way, Robin. Good job. You're a media professional now.
It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Good to talk with you. Robin DeMauro with the Okanagan-Wenatchee Forest. Go up and meet her in here in Wenatchee. She's at the ranger station. Buy a T-shirt. Thanks, Robin.
Thank you.
Robin DeMauro, she's got a great job, I think. I know she has to wear a uniform, but I could put up with that if I were working for the Okanagan-Wenatchee National Forest. Don't you think?